morning and welcome to First Baptist Church on this glorious Easter morning. Will you all stand and join me in the call to worship? Put it in the bulletin. Living God, long ago the good news of Jesus' resurrection was first proclaimed. And the world was changed forever. Teach us to keep faith with those who first believed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. May we all join in our song of worship, number 163. Bow our heads for an invocation. O God of Easter joy, who showed mercy to those who had not known mercy, who made lowly people into your people, who fashioned a wilderness into a highway, and turned a victim of death into the bearer of life, let us feel your transforming power in our lives. Enlighten our worship as you enlighten Jesus' worship of you, that we might adore you as he adored you and serve you as he served you in spirit and in truth. Hear us as we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Happy Easter. It's wonderful to see everyone here today. Some of you are guests with us today, and we want to offer a especially warm welcome to you. We're delighted that you've come to worship with us. You might find a visitor's card or a guest card in the pew in front of you, in the pew rack, and if you'd like, you can fill that out and put it in the offering plate and help us get to know you a little better. Our missions project for the month of April is we are collecting items for Teacher Appreciation Day at Conger Elementary School. And you can donate items that have been individually wrapped and place them in the vestibule when you come. Next week, the youth will have their monthly meeting, and they're going to be doing another one of their ecumenical visits. They're going to St. Mary's to observe and be a part of Catholic worship service. And then next Sunday evening at 6:30, we'll all get together and talk about that experience. And also, next Sunday is an important day in the life of our church. We're having a family shower for the Kilhefners to welcome Yayla and Elijah to our church family. And we're excited about that. Candy has a sign-up sheet for those of you who would like to help donate food and to give to our covered dish supper that we will be having next Sunday after church. And we look forward to that experience together. I think those are all the announcements on this wonderful Easter day. So now we go from hymn number 163 to hymn number 63. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Shall we stand and sing together? Thank you. Will the ushers come forward for the morning offering? For prayer. God bless these gifts as you have already blessed the giver in ways we do not even know. We thank you, Lord, for these blessings, and we ask this in our Savior's name, your Son Jesus. Amen.
David Harris will come at this time and lead us in a children's message. So we invite all the children to come forward.
Yeah, turn the mic on. Hey, good morning.
Hey.
So do you guys know what these are?
Right.
Easter egg, right. And so one of the things that's symbolic of Easter is that sometimes on Easter you'll have Easter egg hunts, or you'll have sometimes at school to do Easter egg hunts. And the thing about Easter eggs is most of the time when you open them up, you find candy. So you can take one. So you can't eat it right now because
it's
cool. We'll eat it later. And so the Easter egg is similar to the story that we read about the resurrection today, because the disciples, when they came to the tomb, they were expecting to find something in the tomb. They were expecting to find Jesus' body. But when they got there, they got to the tomb, and like this Easter egg, there was nothing inside. And so, some of the translations, some stories, they'll say that the disciples were sad or upset because there was nothing, or because Jesus was not inside the tomb. And so, have you ever been sad when you got an Easter egg and there was nothing inside of it?
Yeah.
And so it's a good thing about the empty tomb is that because Jesus had risen, he was no longer in the tomb, and this was a time of celebration and great joy. And so the next time you see an empty Easter egg, even though there may not be chocolate or candy inside, just think and remember on the fact that the tomb was also empty and Jesus was not inside, and we can celebrate at that. Amen.
Alright, let us pray.
Alright. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you that the tomb was empty and that you were not there, but you had indeed risen. We celebrate on this day and celebrate on this momentous moment the resurrection. In Christ's name, amen.
We invite you at this time to share with the congregation any joys or concerns that you might have.
As most of you know, Ian will graduate in about a month from the College of Worcester, where we found out this week that he was accepted into the graduate program at Kent State University.
All right, great.
I have a joy. My nephew Sam fell and broke his foot about 6 weeks ago, and Friday he found out he can take all the blow up cast off and tentatively put a little bit of weight on that foot. He still has a way to go before he can put full weight on it. I'm going to ask for continued prayer for my brother. He had seizures and things and had to leave the rehab to go back to the hospital. He's now returned to the physical rehab, and he's doing well, but he's been in there quite a while, so just continued prayer for him. And also I'd like to offer my praise to Brennan's mommy. And her friend Chad is with us today, and we were able to celebrate Easter with them.
alive with joy. Jesus has risen.
I shared a couple of weeks ago about that unspoken request, but things have turned around and he's doing quite well, and he'll be starting a job tomorrow. So keep that in your prayers. Thank you.
All our prayers today are thankful and excited because of the resurrection that we celebrate. Let us also pray for our country and its leaders. And let us pray for those who serve. Bow with me. Lord, we come to this service of worship with excitement in our hearts because today is Easter. Today we celebrate resurrection. Today we are glad because life has won the victory. And that has many repercussions in our lives. We are glad for the peace and comfort that it brings and for the hope, the steadfast hope that it gives to each of us. We are glad because of the promise of eternal life. But we are also glad because of the promise of transformed lives, transformed hearts. And thus we also acknowledge that we are in need of resurrection. We're in need of transformation. Today is a day when we celebrate the forgiveness of sin. And we pray that you would forgive each of us. And not in such a way that we would be left unchanged, but we pray that you would change us inwardly, that our outward expressions would also be changed, that we would be found more kind and generous and honest, more compassionate and courageous. That our eyes would be open to the people around us who are suffering and we might be helped. And that our hearts would be full. And even when we see and are threatened by all of the things that our lives threaten us with, threatened by evil, threatened by harm, tempted by pleasure, tempted to become angry and hateful, when we are threatened by things that make us afraid, let us always, especially today, remember the grave and the empty tomb and all that it stands for in our lives. Through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Shall we sing our song of meditation this morning, which is number 359, More Love to Thee, O Christ.
Thank you.
hear these words with me from the 28th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Lo, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Hail!" And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." May I add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus is the way the old hymn begins. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, is the way Paul begins the third chapter in his letter to the Colossians. Set your minds on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And thus Paul makes a distinction between earthly things and the things above, the things below, the things above. Easter is above. And there's no better time than Easter for us to obey Paul's instructions and contemplate this distinction between earthly things and set our minds on the heavenly. Today is not the day to think about the things below. I had to be reminded of this myself because when I first prepared this message, I sort of made a list of earthly things. Most of them were depressing and negative. And then I decided, I'm not even going to mention them. Because today is not the day to mention them. We know about them. And we speak about them in other ways. And on nearly every other Sunday, we mention them one way or another. Today is about resurrection. And all of the things that point to it. But then I realized something. I had made a list of positive things too. And I realized that the list of things that I said to myself are the things above were also very earthly too. I thought of rainbows, a clean bill of health, birth, being warm and safe and dry and full. I thought of love and friendship, of happy tears and a good night's sleep. I thought of kindliness, generosity, honesty, and peace. I thought of forgiveness and realized that even though one might object it, these are also parts of our earthly life. Even though we think highly of them and because they're positive, they are worth mentioning because they are not merely earthly things. But they're parts of our experience that happen to us here below, but they're blessed because they compel us toward joy and they point towards heaven. And we should be reminded that these things are not necessary, and I know each of you has your own list. It is not necessary that anything of this earthly life blesses us. We're not owed, and we do not deserve them, but we are blessed by them. And since we have been raised with Christ, let us start there. Setting our minds on these kind of things as on the things above. That might help us. Because Easter is a big thing. It's named after the rising of the sun, which is also an above thing. Each day we are renewed by it and given back the world. It is a gift. And Easter itself is a gift. And that first Easter morning and its story is not only grace to us, but it is surprising. It's one of those things that would be surprising even if we were told in advance. It's like a birthday party, a surprise one. You think you're going to try to get the birthday person to wherever the party's going to be without them figuring it out. And in all kinds of different ways, you have to participate in suspicious behavior in order to pull it off. And then when they get there, they're surprised because they had no inkling. If we contemplate Easter and really think about it, that's the way it should be. You should always be delightfully surprised by resurrection, the empty tomb. The story is familiar. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women who were concerned about proper burial etiquette, which is of course an earthly concern, made their way to the tomb where Jesus had been laid, hoping to anoint him for burial and wondering how they were going to get into the tomb. But what they found instead was that the stone covering the entrance had already been moved, and there was an angel there dressed like lightning with a too-good-to-be-true story to tell them. "You're looking for Jesus," he said. "He's not here. He's been raised. Just like he said." If we weren't so used to it, we would be surprised by it. And even if we take a moment to think about it, we can be surprised by it still, even this very second. We ought to be speechless before it. Which I'm sure that they were, but the first thing that they were told by the angel was to go and tell. Which is hard to do when your jaw is dropped. But that's the way resurrections are. When a resurrection happens, there's no need to stand still or keep quiet. "Go to Galilee," he told them, "and tell the others." In many ways, this story just preaches itself. And more than other days of the year, I feel inadequate to try and come up with something to say about Easter. Easter needs a symphony to go with it. And there were symphonies that have been inspired by it. And if we were in different circumstances, maybe we would just have a symphony and let them play. But instead, you're stuck with me. And whatever words I can come up with. It is a heavenly thing that we celebrate today. It is one of the things above. And since we have been raised, it is right and good and healthy to think about its meaning. Part of what Easter means is the victory of life over death. This is perhaps the most obvious meaning. And I've already decided not to talk about death today because that is a part of our down here below life. And that's not what today is about. The resurrection is the opposite of all that. It works against all the ways we find to work against life, and it overcomes them. The resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate today means our resurrection. And though we are still here, for many of us, resurrection is more of a hope than a reality. It is a blessed hope that is capable of sustaining us through all kinds of hardship. It is capable of overcoming all the contradictions in life. It carries us throughout all our days. And it is part of what Easter is about. Another part of what Easter is about is the victory of good over evil. And I don't want to talk too much about evil today because this isn't the day for it. Evil is part of the down here below life that we live. And we speak of it at other times. And I mention it in other sermons, and we know about it. We thought about it on Thursday, and we thought about it on Friday. But Easter is the opposite of all that. And perhaps the reason why we think about it at other times is so that today, when we celebrate the empty tomb and the raising of Christ, it will be more delightful and more surprising to us. Just like a warm room is a much more pleasant experience when you're coming in out of the cold. Today, we celebrate the universal dream of the triumph of goodness and righteousness and justice. We celebrate the triumph of mercy over judgment. And we are enlivened by the hope that in Christ Jesus, not only does life conquer death, but good defeats evil. That is part of what Easter means. Set your mind on it. When you run into trouble, set your mind on it. And if you're having trouble believing it, then just start with one of the little things, the little earthly things like rainbows or a good night's sleep that I mentioned earlier. Start there and let it grow. Let it turn your countenance away from the things below, towards the things above. That is not all we can say about what Easter means. We live in an age of meaning, which means that there are many people, including some of our best songwriters and playwrights and novelists, and even some of us, who are not as nearly motivated by the thought of eternal life as we might be, and possibly not even by the idea of the forgiveness of sin, but are more deeply concerned about the idea of life as a quest for meaning. We shouldn't dismiss that. For some people, perhaps even for you, what seems more real and more imminent is the threat that life will turn out to be empty and meaningless. For people like that, fulfilling relationships and meaningful work, living life to a purpose, are the best expressions of life's end and of its goal. And we do well to say boldly that the resurrection of Jesus means the victory of fullness over emptiness. It means the victory of joy over sorrow. The victory of hope over despair. The resurrection is the victory of meaning. It means that this life is not in vain. It is powerfully meaningful. And we might ask, how does that meaning win? One way to understand the power of the cross and of the resurrection is in their vicarious nature, which means they are for someone. They're not selfish. That's a good hint. They are self-giving instead. They can be understood in the context of a relationship characterized by love. And perhaps there is no other way to understand them. Somebody doing something for somebody else. Jesus doing something for his friends. God doing something for us, for you, and for me. That is the victory of meaning, and that is part of what Easter is all about. Life and goodness and meaning. These are the things from above, and we have been taught to set our minds on them. They run contrary to the earthly things much of the time, but we are assured of their truthfulness and their victory. That's what Easter is. So, let us rejoice. We celebrate the victory won when Jesus climbed up from the grave with the marks of his suffering still fresh on his frame, and when that angel, dressed like lightning, gave his astonishing message to those women. "He is not here," the angel said. "He is risen. Now, be on your way to Galilee and tell the others." And away they went. And away we go, with the magnificent things above set on our minds, and maybe even on the tips of our tongues, the earthly things, strangely dim. Let us pray. Dear God, we have read the story, and we have sung it, and we have heard words about it. Take the earthly things and make them dim in our minds so that we might be overwhelmed by the glory of resurrection, the resurrection of Christ and our own resurrection. We celebrate this day together. And we pray that you would bless it throughout our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I have one of these subdued personalities so that when I'm excited, you have to know me to tell it. I'm the kind of person that if you ask me how I'm doing, I'll say, okay. And if I say okay, that means I'm great. I don't know what it would take to get me to say, I'm great. But that always makes me feel inadequate when I stand up to preach about resurrection. But the song that we are about to sing is not inadequate. It's Beethoven. "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." Hymn number 25. And let us stand and sing it as we celebrate this morning. Thank you. Don't forget to see Candy Lee if you would like to help with next Sunday's covered dish supper. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we are inspired by the event that we celebrate today, and in that inspiration, send us out filled with this message and with the joy of resurrection. In Christ's name, amen.